storm with fears, and did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels tread? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know?
Glad you're here to celebrate Christmas at Grace. And those of you joining us on Facebook Live and live stream, welcome. So glad you're going to be a part of this amazing celebration today. Before we begin our service today, let me just remind you of a couple of very important things that you need to know, primarily about our service schedule this coming week. Don't forget that we will dismiss Tuesday morning prayer this Tuesday. And, of course, Wednesday Bible study this Wednesday for the Christmas holiday. So that means that the next time we'll be together, the next time that we'll see each other, will be next Sunday, a week from today. So do make a note of that. And, of course, that is an effort to allow time for you to be with friends and family and to experience all the wonderful things that this season brings. I also do want to mention that we will be having church-wide communion on the very first Sunday of the year, January 5th. So that's two weeks from today. You do want to remember that. Come expecting great things in our communion service on January the 5th. I've been mentioning over the last several services that today, in addition to celebrating Christmas, we do want to take a moment and mention our Christmas for Christ offering. Every year in our Christmas service, we receive a Christmas for Christ offering. And you may be wondering, well, what wonderful cause does Christmas for Christ support? Well, I'm glad you asked, and I'm going to take just a moment to tell you. Christmas for Christ supports and goes toward North American missions, establishing churches, apostolic churches in North America and Canada. Would you believe that there are 36 countries, internationally, 36 countries that have more churches per capita than the United States does? That's interesting, isn't it? We need more churches. Now, we live in the Bible Belt, and sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that because there's a lot of churches in our area. But there are other portions of the United States, North America, that do not have the church presence that we do here in the South. We need more churches. We need them established. The United Pentecostal Church has established a goal of $10 million raised this year for Christmas for Christ, and you can be a part of that. And so if you'd like to give today, we encourage you to go online. There's a tab set up under the giving portion of our website. You can give to Christmas for Christ. Or if you want to leave your offering in the box in the back of the church on your way out, just mark that envelope, Christmas for Christ, and we'll be sure it gets to the right fund and the right effort. And don't forget, you will have to have all of that in by the end of the year to get tax credit, deductible tax credit for 2024. Amen. Amen. Well, we're, again, excited today about celebrating the birth of Christ today together with you. And I want to ask you a question as our kids get ready for their part of this presentation today. I do want to ask you a question. When is it appropriate in the year, what part of the year is it appropriate to start wishing people Merry Christmas? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever had that awkward Merry Christmas too early conversation? I've heard of Christmas in July, so I guess if you're at a Christmas in July event, it would be appropriate to wish people a Merry Christmas in July. Maybe you could go by when the weather changes and gets cold and it feels festive, but you know that seems like a moving target in the South. I hear we're in for a warm Christmas day this year. Probably in American culture, the best time is the day after Thanksgiving, right? Because Thanksgiving is a major holiday, and so the next thing would be Christmas, and we would wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I'm going to try something this year, though. I'll let you know how it goes. I'm going to go on December 26th, the day after Christmas, and I'm going to start wishing people Merry Christmas for December 2025 and just carry that on. I'll give you an update on how that's received in real time as we go along. But here's my point. It's always appropriate to wish people a Merry Christmas because the story behind Christmas is the good news of the gospel, which is that God wrapped himself in flesh for the purpose of salvation and became a man, died on the cross, rose again. It's always appropriate to celebrate the good news of the gospel. And so today I wish you a very Merry Christmas, not just today, but every day throughout the year. Sunday, Monday, good day, bad day, doesn't matter. The gospel of Jesus Christ is worth being celebrated. So today I tell you Merry Christmas today and throughout the coming year. Let's celebrate with our kids, our students, our praise team, and then Pastor's going to come after a while and present a wonderful Christmas message. And it's going to be a blessing to us all. Would you clap your hands and make these children welcome here today? God bless you, Grace Church.
'Twas the night that Christ was born. Some say it was a silent night. So peaceful you could hear the stars twinkle. Silence wrapped the world like a cozy blanket. The perfect backdrop for the arrival of the King of Kings. Heavenly hosts threw the ultimate celestial concert, singing glory to God in the highest. And there he was, the tiny yet mighty Savior, snuggled in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Emmanuel, a fancy way of saying, hey everyone, God is officially with us.
Was it really silent? I mean, have you ever been around a newborn? There were innkeepers who had no room in the inn, animals mooing, sheep baaing, and probably a donkey that wouldn't stop. Not to mention the angels showing up like, don't be afraid, we're just here to party. Excitement buzzed through the air like Christmas lights on overdrive. This wasn't just a birthday. It was the birth of our Savior. The shepherds ran faster than they ever had. And wise men traveled miles with presents in hand. gold, fancy, frankincense, smells nice, and myrrh, thoughtful. It was the ultimate birthday party, complete with stars leading the way.
The celebration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the real reason for this season. Let's keep in mind the true reason of Christmas. It's not just about the gifts, even though those are pretty great. Thanks, wise men. It's about love, peace, and joy. And that incredible moment when God wrapped himself in flesh to show us what true love looks like.
So from all of us to you, may your holiday season be filled with laughter so loud it rivals the angels' choir, and memories as bright as the Bethlehem star, and enough cookies to keep Pastor smiling all year long. You're welcome, Pastor. And as it says in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men, may joy and love from above fill your hearts with endless cheer. Merry Christmas to all and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Grace Church.
I want to give honor to my pastor for allowing me to be here, and I want to thank Sister Casey for giving me this opportunity to speak. My title for today is, Are You Willing To? In Matthew 19, 16 through 22, it begins a chapter with talking about the rich young ruler. In verse 16, it says, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? In the next few verses, God goes on to say that to have eternal life, you have to keep my commandments. And God proceeds to name them. The rich young ruler then says in verse 20 that all the things that God mentioned, he has kept those things from his youth up. So what do I lack? God answers him and asks him to lay down his riches, everything he owned, and give it to the poor. Then God says, come and follow me. In the next few verses, it says the rich young ruler gained great sorrow, for he had great possessions. In Luke 1, 26 through 38, begins a chapter announcing that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to deliver a message to Mary. In verse 28, it says, And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Skip down to verse 31, and it reads, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." At first glance, there is no connection that you can draw between these two stories. But as I studied and meditated on what God was trying to speak to me, it became so clear. As I read the story of the rich young ruler, I realized that he wanted to add to his riches. He was hearing about a great wealth, of being able to give the gift of all eternity. As he asks God what he needs to do to behold this beautiful gift, and God begins to name the textbook things to get there. He says, if you just follow my commandments, you're on the right track. You're doing all the right things. The rich young ruler hears this, and I imagine he gets a little excited. He's like, maybe feeling a little proud too. He's like, well, I got that part down. Following the commandments is something I've been doing my whole life. I follow the textbook. I've done all the right things. But then God comes in and asks the rich young ruler this question, something that's not in the textbook. It's like when a teacher gives you a test and you're marking all the right answers, but the first questions were in the textbook, but you get down to that very last question. And this particular question isn't in the textbook, but somehow still related to the subject. God asks the question, are you willing to come and follow me? There was a pause. Suddenly, the rich young ruler is caught off guard. What do you mean, God? You want me to drop everything that I own, everything that I've worked for? What do you mean you want me to give up all my possessions to the poor? God, this wasn't in the textbook. God, you're asking me to give a part of myself, a part of what makes me who I am. I can't do that, God. I'm not willing to. Here in this, God essentially asks the rich young ruler the same question he asks his disciples. He asks them to do something outside of just the commandments, to step outside the box and follow me. Just like my disciples, rich young ruler, are you willing to? Unfortunately, the rich young ruler walked away. He was unwilling to give it all up. But on this Christmas day, I can't leave you on a bad note. So I want to remind you of someone who was willing to. Mary was approached by an angel and was told she was going to bear a child, and his name was going to be called Jesus. Mary had no warning and no preparation for this next big step in her life. But Mary was willing. In Luke 1:42 through 46, it even goes on to show that she was rejoicing. She was thanking God for this privilege to be able to birth this Savior of the world. Mary never said, no, I can't take this child. God, this isn't fair. What about my life? What about me? Like, am I just supposed to give everything up? Mary never said that because Mary was willing to. Grace Church, I want to simply ask the question, are you willing to? Are you willing that if God asks you to lay something hard down, could it be a job, a relationship? Could it be your pride? Could it be your comfortability? Are you willing to do it like how Jesus' disciples did? Are you willing to? Or are you comfortable in your riches? Like how the rich young ruler was, unable to break the small string that tied him and kept him away from God. Yes, you may do all the right things when it comes to the textbook, when it comes to keeping God's commandments, but can you break away from the textbook for just one moment and be like Mary? Are you willing? Thank you.
Yeah. Nobody, nobody. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God,
and the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
In him was life,
and the life was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him.
From generation to generation.
He hath showed strength with his arm.
He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts.
He hath put down the mighty from their seats. And exalted them of low degree.
He hath filled the hungry with good things.
And the rich he hath sent empty away.
He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Ghost.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily.
But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
He shall save his people from their sins.
He shall save his people from their sins.
Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying,
Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
God with us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
guitar in.
Everybody stand. Would you lift your voice, lift your praise, lift your heart to Jesus, and let's praise him together, everybody. Let's praise him. Jesus is born. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is anybody thankful that he came? Aren't you thankful that he came? Hallelujah. God robed in flesh to redeem you and I from all of our sin, and to have the promise of a great eternity with him. I'm glad he came. I'm glad he's still here. Thank the Lord. Clap your hands one more time to Jesus today. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to just say thank you to, well, it's going to be hard to thank everybody, calling everyone's name. But first of all, to our amazing staff for putting all of this together, from the little kids all the way up to the adult people. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time, all the practices. I heard that some of the practices weren't quite up to what expectation was, but hey, it worked out, did it not? Yes, it did. And to all of our children, our students, our staff, everybody, thank you so very much for making this service possible today. Let's everybody give them some appreciation today, shall we? Thank the Lord. Great, great job. Great job from start to finish. And I don't know that whoever came up with that arrangement that Steve Bunch just played, along with those accompanying him, I don't think they do as good as he does. I often say that sometimes. I think our praise team and their presentation sounds better than the people it originated with. No offense to anybody. But what a climax, what a peak to such a marvelous, marvelous presentation. And we appreciate all of you being here today to make this service possible. I want to make a few comments here today. I'm coming with a great amount of passion, and don't want to keep you but just for a few moments. We've heard such a great presentation today, but it's been on my heart for the past several days in preparation for this service today. John the Baptist, as he began to see the ministry of Christ develop in the Gospels, you can read about it. As he began to see the ministry of Christ beginning to develop and to take shape, to take hold, he had made a pretty brazen statement concerning the family of King Herod, caused him to be put in prison. And his disciples, he had a very unique following of men and women that followed him that was so hopeful of what John would bring to the world. But John would tell them, it's not going to be me. I'm not it. I'm not the it that's coming here. He said, there's one coming after me. There's one coming after me. He said that over and over. And there came that time. John knew in his heart, he knew in his spirit, it came that time that he told two of his disciples. He said, I want you to go find Jesus, and I want you to ask him a question. He said, I'd like for you to ask him, are you the one that should come? Are you the Messiah? Or should we look for someone else? Should we look for another, they ask. I believe Jesus knew where this was coming from. Of course, he knew all things. And he didn't say anything to them verbally. But the Bible said he just turned around and healed blind people and caused lame people to walk and the deaf to hear and so on. And then he turned around and said, go tell John what you've seen. And they did. John knew that he was about to be taken away from his disciples. John also knew that he wasn't God, that he could not redeem his followers, his disciples. So John was transferring their faith, their loyalty, their commitment. He was transferring it over to Jesus. He was making a statement, and this is what I've come to say for just a couple of minutes this morning. John knew that he was about to die. He was going to be beheaded. He knew that. He knew that his time was up, his time of ministry was up, and he had these very endearing followers around him. And he said, I want you to go find Jesus and ask him. I believe John knew the answer to that question. Obviously he did. He wanted his disciples to know. And the reason he wanted them to know, if you stop following me and start following Jesus, I'm about to leave you, but he will never leave you. He wanted to portray to them this idea that no matter what happens in your life, my life, the lives of people around us, no matter what happens, if you embrace Jesus, if you understand who he is and what he's about, you will always have Jesus, because he promised that he would never leave you. You will always have him. I want that to resonate with somebody here today. There's a lot of people here today that I want that to resonate with you. There's people here today that had things this time last year. You perhaps had relationships. Maybe people here today that you were married this time last year. There were people that had very pleasant and enjoyable circumstances and relationships, perhaps with your kids and even your family, that you don't have this year. There may be a loved one that you had this time last year that you don't have this time this year. I could go on and on, and the list is lengthy. There could be people here today that were better off financially this time last year than you are this year. You may have lost money. You may have lost possessions. You may have lost things that were dear to you. But if you follow the Bible mandate when it concerns a relationship with Jesus, you will never, ever be without him. I want everybody to understand that. I'm approaching the Christmas story from a completely different angle than I've ever done in my ministry. I want somebody to understand passionately here today, fervently here today. There's a whole lot of things. There may be some things that you could think of today that this time last year, on some level, I was in a better place than I am this year. And it hurts. It's hurtful to think about. So-and-so was with me this time last year. I had things this time last year that I don't have this year. But what you do have this year that you had this time last year was Jesus. Is Jesus. Things that we hold in our hands, things that we grip a hold of and cling to and we put trust in and we put confidence in and we put faith in and we put our hope in. And sometimes it's taken away and then somehow the season of Christmas brings it all to the surface. I told Sister Murphy the other day that for a lot of people, Christmas is depressing, the Christmas carols, and it reminds you of yesterday for some reason. It brings back memories you hadn't thought of all year, and your heart yearns for that moment of last year and 5 years ago and 20 years ago. Sometimes my heart yearns for when we lived in North Baton Rouge as a child, and we couldn't wait for Christmas morning to open that package. And I have to confess that my brother and I were guilty sometimes of getting under the tree and finding our presents, and we would untape the end so we could see what was in it, so we kind of knew what we were getting. We did know what we were getting, but it didn't matter. We still was anxious to open those gifts, whatever it was. I yearned for those moments. I remember when my kids were little. I remember when Noah and Joseph were little and how Christmas had such a dynamic, and we miss those days, and they're not in our possession anymore. Not like that. But what I do have today that I had back in the 1960s, I had in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, I still have Jesus. Isaiah said, I believe it's Isaiah 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. There was something that happened to him when he lost the most influential person in his life. He died. The king died. That was a source of sustenance. That was a source of dependence and security and comfort for Isaiah. And he died. But God sees that moment with Isaiah. Isaiah sees that moment with God and said, something very precious and valuable has left my life. So I'm going to seize this moment to begin a relationship with God like I never have had. It's amazing that he was such a prolific prophet. He's called the Messianic prophet. He prophesied about Jesus more than any other prophet. And there was a time in his life that God was a tale, a story, a tradition, a law, a requirement, maybe even burdensome. But when that prized possession of life for him died, His king died. You understand? The one he was subservient to, the one he yielded to, the one that he did everything he was told to do, that person died. And Isaiah was now left flailing, if you will, groping. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what tomorrow's going to be like because this person is absent out of my life. God steps in. I want to take this a step further. Perhaps there's people that think of even church of yesterday. I do. I think of the church I grew up in all the time. It's such a huge part of my life. But that culture, that environment, that time doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't. There's people here today that's talked about previous churches you've attended. That, man, it used to be this and it used to be that. I get it. Camp meeting is not what it was when I was a teenager. Youth camp isn't what it was when I was. All these things somehow transition out of our life. But there's one constant. There's one remain. There's one that remains. And it's my hope today. And it's to that one that I bow. It's to that God that I give my allegiance and honor to. It's to him that I've surrendered my faith and my life. His name is Jesus. So I want to tell somebody, when you leave here today, out of all the things you've lost, out of all the things you've said goodbye to, we still have Jesus. We still have Jesus in our life. I've seen it work. I've seen it work in the lives of people all of my life. I've stood with people, I've sat with people, I've been in their homes, they've been in mine, I've been in my office with them, wherever it was. When people have, they've cried, some have sobbed, some have been so frustrated, some have been so hurt and so bitter because something very valuable, important to them passed. The moment passed, the time passed, the era passed. The marriage didn't work out. Parenting didn't work out. The kids didn't work out. Students here today may have issues with your parents. They just, I can't get them to a good place or whatever, however you want to say it. There's something that you wish was there that's not there. And you can't make it happen. People try. They do all kinds of things to try to create some semblance of something in their life that fulfills them like something of the past did. And what we don't understand, as life is a new dynamic virtually every day. There's things you have to face every day. There's things you used to have to face that you don't have to face anymore. We don't have babies in our house anymore. We don't have little kids in our house. That time is gone, and we loved it and enjoyed it, but it's over with. Our kids are grown. They're married. Y'all know that. Can't recreate that. I can't bring that back. But what I can have every day, Brother Malcolm, is a huge, vibrant relationship with God because he never goes away. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so today, as you stand with me, as we bring this to a conclusion, I strive here today for somebody to understand. I understand this part of my presentation. Well, the thing that I missed was something tangible, something physical, something that I could hold in my hand or touch with my hand and see with my eyes. You can't touch Jesus with your hand like that. He's not tangible. I get it. I get it. And oftentimes in our lives, and it makes God so prolific, if you will, is when we are at the end of what our emotional structure can bear. We can't handle anymore. And you say, man, I just wish God would just show up. And it's amazing because in one way or another, Anna Ferris, Celeste's daughter, here today. Left a little note on the stand next to the little pulpit in the A Center. I've come with my own personal feelings here today about some things, I'll be honest. And she just left a note and said, here's you a donut and some coffee. Merry Christmas, Anna. I had to smile. It was totally unexpected. And what she doesn't know, she didn't understand the burden that I carry here today. And just coming from her, totally unexpected. It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't the finest preacher of the United Pentecostal Church preaching on Friday night at camp meeting. It wasn't that. It was a young lady, one of our students, who just wanted to share something very quiet, very sweet with me. And it was almost like the voice of an angel. It was. I'm not over-exaggerating. It was God came to me. I brought that note to my office and I plan to keep it for a long time. God comes to us in so many ways every day. And our longing in the absence of things from our lives are so hurtful sometimes. And we just want God. We just want God. And the thing is that He is there. But oftentimes we miss it. We don't see it. We don't get it. Miss the voice of that child, that text message, that phone call. We say thank you for calling and being so sweet, but we miss it. It's not just that voice of a person. It's the voice of God speaking to us, pouring into our lives. And I want to tell somebody, I want to encourage somebody here today that this coming Wednesday's Christmas Day, and your heart may ache a little bit because so-and-so isn't here, and this isn't here, and that isn't here. And it used to be. I want you to rejoice and celebrate the fact that Jesus is here. And He's the most important. He's the most important presence in our lives ever. So as they play and sing softly, I love this moment. I love this moment on our Christmas service. Love to invite you to come. Just for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes. We're on time today. We're on time. God, I love you and I celebrate your coming. Not just to the world, but to my life. I celebrate that, God, today. I celebrate that. Would you just come and gather just for a few minutes with your family and friends? And let's all celebrate the presence of the Lord together for a few minutes, shall we? Everybody come. God, I love you so much.
God with us forever.
God, I love you so much. I'm so thankful, God, for your presence in our lives. The Lord, would you sing with the singers today? Let's celebrate this great occasion, this great moment. Hallelujah! 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 Isn't it wonderful to be here in the presence of the Lord, to be gathered together with friends and family of like preciousness?